It's time for promotions. You get a promotion, and you get a promotion, and you get a promotion. You definitely get a promotion.
Not so fast. You're forgetting about the most qualified person in this office.
Oh, Tim, thank you.
Me!
Sweet memory, Jemba. You, sir, are now president of this company. Bow down before the great and powerful Tits. I mean Tim. Aw, to hell with it. I'm going with Tits.
Oh, don't worry. I haven't forgotten about you.
Now it's garbage.
Another movie night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott, and with me is my fun bags, Joe.
Wait, I'm fun bags plural? Or
bags of fun.
Okay, I like it.
Hey, guess what today is, Joe?
Talking trash?
Talking trash, indeed. This is our show to review, spoil, debate, crap on, and give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, the much debated and often forgotten flicks on the internet, all while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we truly believe you can't review a film unless you know what the worst is. Is that the fastest I've ever done it?
I think that's the fastest, yeah.
That was like a Micro Machine guy. You remember the Micro Machine guy?
Yeah, how can I forget?
I used to love those commercials.
He had the mustache. He looked like Time to Make the Donuts guy.
He did, like a skinnier version.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is things that people that are listening actually know about.
Well, if they're old like us, they
exactly.
Would.
Exactly. You know, today is July. And this is the end of the month, and we are watching a new theme of movies suggested by our friend and listener, Beck, over on Instagram at This Girl Loves Horror, and her movie podcast called The Girl and the Gay Podcast. And she has chosen Killer Body Parts, so that was the theme for the entire month, and we are ending on... we're watching a movie tonight with a tagline that states that this movie is a killer comedy... with big eyes.
What?
We are talking about the winner of Best Actress at the 2016 Crimson Screen Horror Film Fest and Festival Honor winner of Outstanding Voice Performance and the Golden Marquee Award for Outstanding Actress both at Zed Fest Film Festival 2015 and Grand Jury Award nominee for Best Feature Film at Fantastic Cinema Festival 2016. Of course, we are talking about 2015's The Killer Rack.
Of course we're talking about that, because what other movie would we be talking about? It has to be The Killer Rack, of course.
Of course. What other movie could we be talking about with those kinds of acolytes?
Acolytes.
Why am I saying it like all the time?
Because I think you're always thinking of Ed Wood. Dr. Acula.
Is that what it is? Because it's like a Star Wars show I can't say for some reason. Okay, look.
A Star Wars show you can't say for some reason? Andor?
I could say Andor. Jeez.
What's the other one? Oh.
The Acolyte.
The Acolyte.
I always want to say the same thing.
Oh, you're thinking of accolade. It. That's the word you're trying to scooch out.
Yeah, what did you think I was trying to say?
Accolade. I think I said acolyte.
You did?
I did.
See? And I said, that's the Star Wars show I'm trying to say. And I didn't make fun of you. You easily make fun of me.
No, I didn't.
But I said no.
I'm making fun of you myself know what? Because I said acolyte and I meant accolade.
You know what? That's why you're my fun bags. Hey, this movie has a 4.1 on IMDb. You're not going to believe this, Joe, from 513 reviewers.
Oh, my God.
It was directed by Gregory Lamberson, whose first film was a crazy film I wish we did on this show called Slime City. And this movie actually references it when the actor actually shows up and gets sprayed in the face and his face starts falling apart and he says, oh, no, not again.
Did we even see that?
We did. We saw it with our friends on a Monday night movie night.
Oh, okay.
It was fantastic. We laughed through the whole thing.
Yeah. I don't remember it.
It's a guy who his body, like witches did something to him, so he's like a demon. His body needs to eat people.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's like melting constantly.
Yeah, he's always melting. Yeah, I get it. Okay.
Yeah, it was like, just like this movie, it was filmed in a guy's room. Or in the alleyway outside of his apartment.
This was filmed in Uncle Lloyd Kaufman's, like, you know, offices from 1970, because it's
nothing
what it
to do
like.
With him. Nothing to do with him whatsoever. This movie was written by actor Paul McGinnis, who plays Tim in this movie.
Oh my God.
Yes, the lead love interest in this film. It stars Debbie Rochon, the winner of two of those awards I named in the beginning, Joe.
Wow. You know what? I will say this. She brought it. She tried. She did her best with this shit. She actually tried.
What? Well, let me look at this again. And let's just like debate what you just said here. Who do you think this character is that I just named?
The main girl.
No.
It's not the main girl.
No.
Well, who the fuck won the awards?
Dr. Thulu.
Shut up.
Yes, this is the woman who won these awards.
She's
and I'm gonna...
in the movie for 13 seconds. God damn it.
It stars her, right? She is the winner of two of those awards as Dr. Thulu. You get it, Joe? Thulu. Dr. C. Thulu. She has 271 acting credits, including the wholesome family movies like Special Needs Revolt, Bloody Hooker Massacre, Areola Jones and the Home Video Vixens, Shakespeare Shitstorm, Post-Apocalyptic Commando Shark, Dick Johnson and Tommy Gunn versus the Cannibal Cop, based on a true story.
Oh my God.
Killer Hoo-Ha. Oh. Bikini Bloodbath Christmas. Heather and Pugly Drop a Deuce. Dr. Horror's Erotic House of Idiots. Mulva Zombie Ass Kicker.
Oh my God.
There's two of those.
Stop.
And my favorite, Tales from the Crapper. I had to read those for you.
I'm so sorry. I'm trying to muffle the sound. Oh my God, that's not real.
Those
were
all
made
real.
That shit up.
Those were only a handful of ones. I kept erasing them because I kept finding better ones.
And she has 271 of those.
Yes. They're all pretty much that.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I wish I had this actress's like career. Are you kidding me? Yes, I do. It'd be more exciting than what I actually do for a living.
Aw.
Seriously, it would.
Well, when you say to somebody like, you know, I work in this kind of field and I do this thing, and then someone says, well, what do you do? And they say, I was in a movie called Shakespeare Shitstorm.
You know what? To be able to say that, that is something.
Is that something?
It is. It is something.
I was in Tales from the Crapper.
And she won the goddamn awards
She
for
won
this
two
movie.
Awards for this movie.
What about the main actress?
Nothing.
Get the fuck out.
She was actually trying.
She was trying.
Yes, I agree.
She was trying.
I agree.
I feel bad for her.
Yeah. The voice actress of the boobs in this movie won an award, Joe.
Hello, boys.
Oh, stop it.
Yeah, we're not in the mood.
Oh, I find that hard to believe.
No, you totally shot us down.
Oh, come on, fellas. Haven't you heard of playing hard to get?
Really?
How long have we known each other?
Well, you've lived in this building, what, 5 years?
I was hurt that you never catcalled me before.
Well, in our defense, we kind of always thought you were a boy.
I'm definitely all woman now, and so much more.
Hell to the yeah.
Let's see if either of you is man enough for me.
And I thought you were going to ask this, so I actually wrote some factoids I say, I wrote this down.
I have a million questions.
If you're wondering, it was nominated against 12 other movies for Best Feature Film, like movies like Female Werewolf, which has a 1.79 IMDb right now.
Wow.
Yeah, it was nominated against those movies. But shockingly, it won to a movie that I heard is pretty good called Eyes of My Mother, which I hear is good.
What? So is that like that, a real film and not
that's
like,
that's a horror film that I've heard is pretty good.
Seriously?
Yeah.
This is not, that's not a film that was like, you know, shot in someone's back alley.
It could be,
like
but
this
it,
one?
But it could have been like successfully done. Okay, well, we'll get to it. By the way,
I need some answers on some questions.
Before we start talking about the movie, I'm just going to say two more little things. This movie also stars Lloyd Kaufman shows up. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. This movie also was later turned into a musical.
I can understand why.
It's actually pretty cult favorite musical, too.
Stop it.
Yeah. Although the guy who wrote this movie, Tim, who sings in this movie, which we found out later on, was not invited back. It says in the actual trivia, it says he was not invited back to sing.
Okay.
I don't think Lloyd Kaufman was either, by the way.
I'm pretty sure that, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So we are talking about a killer boobs film, and here's what happened in our watch. We're just going to set this up. We found out that this was free on YouTube. Now, I had two options here, okay? The first option was Tubi, which we've learned watching movies on Tubi is extremely tough because it puts another a good 25 to 30 minutes onto it with commercials, and the commercials are excruciating. And so I made the option when I found out, hey, it's free on YouTube, I'll watch that version. So while we were watching this movie, I slowly was realizing there's definitely something cut out of this film. And it's always kind of like an iffy thing when you watch on YouTube, because we've watched a lot of movies on YouTube that were not cut.
No, but you know,
we've seen some really rated R movies on YouTube for free.
Yeah, we really have. I don't know what was happening here, but like I had that Jeff Goldblum moment again. Like, there will be a killer rack in this movie called Killer Rack.
Yeah, so that's the thing, because this movie rated, it says TVMA, which is just like, you know, that doesn't mean they're going to show anything, but it could be suggested. So when I looked down at the thing, it said mild everything. So I was like, I guarantee that means it's just like suggestion of nudity and stuff like that. But I glanced, because while we got to the end of this film, we realized there is definitely something cut.
Yeah,
like
a movie
there's weird,
like this,
odd moments here.
It has no right to be suggestive. Like, you need to just go full on.
Yes.
Because it's the only saving grace that you've got. You've got a terrible, terrible piece of crap movie here. So you have to show something, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, like, okay. I was just going to say real fast that we did rewind and look through the Tubi version, and we saw the whole ending in the right way. I paused it, rewound a little bit, and then we skipped back and we realized they cut out a whole song and dance number from this movie on the YouTube version, which was weird to us.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't really anything offensive. It was just like a joke about boobs.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, it wasn't like showing them or anything. It was just people dancing around.
There were some suggestions of boobs, like in the background behind Lloyd Kaufman. There's like a whole naked picture.
Yeah, but that's not.
But it's not.
I've seen much worse.
You know, it's not bad. It's breasts, but I don't know.
So that's how we watched this movie, and we did find out later on, which is kind of funny because all the things cut out weren't that heavy. So that being said, now, you said something about this movie being cheap and all that. Look, this is a very, very low-budget indie-made film. And I want to give them a little more credit than I think you're going
to
give them.
No, no. What I'm trying to say here is that we needed some kind of, like, if you're going to give us, if you're not going to give us actual boobs, give us gore. You know? Don't try to, like, make this poor main actress over, like, overdo it with the acting. I mean, she's really, really trying, this girl. She's the only one in the entire movie that's actually trying to act. And I feel like you need to do something. If you can't have a movie like this and not give some kind of gore.
Are you going to discredit Bartles and James? Because Bartles and James are the stellar MVPs of this movie. They had me laughing almost
my God.
I laughed out loud a shit ton. Every time they were on screen, I was like, oh, I'm laughing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay. You want to just talk about this, if there's a plot?
Yeah. I mean, there is. I mean, there's some stuff that we could joke around about here.
Yeah. I'm still a little iffy on what is actually happening here.
Yeah. So we quickly find out that there is a mad scientist who worships Cthulhu.
Yeah, her name is Dr. Kate Thulu.
Yes. Yes, she has the Hail Hydra symbol on almost everything
she
that she has.
She does. It's hysterical.
And they might show an outside building that looks like in a professional place, but once you go inside, the whole movie is being filmed in what looks like a basement or some kind of rundown shack.
It's definitely like an abandoned office building,
yeah,
of some sort. There's like wood paneling on the walls in some places, and it's bonkers. I mean, next level.
It's that literally when I looked up trivia, the only thing I could find out really was that these sets were all like somebody who was working on the movie's place, like the director's all of his house.
See, that's what I'm telling you. I think that they asked Lloyd Kaufman, hey, no.
So
I'm going to borrow your shit.
You keep bringing up Lloyd Kaufman. So they wrote Lloyd Kaufman an email. He answered, hey, will you do a cameo? And he said, sure.
But he didn't have just a cameo.
Oh, shockingly. We thought originally he did until we saw he had a singing number, which we were shocked about. And I think it has to do with the actress who's playing Kate Thulu. Is in a bunch of Lloyd Kaufman films.
Oh my God.
So I think there is the connection there, is that they pretty much got everybody involved who have maybe worked with him.
I knew that some of these were trauma babes. I knew it.
Oh, they're definitely.
Some of those girls in the office that worked in the office were trauma babes.
At least two of them worked in Tales from the Crapper.
I thought about a killer turd.
I think it's an anthology that's making fun of Tales from the Crypt.
Oh my God.
So it's Tales from the Crapper.
Okay, you got to find that and show it to me because I need it.
Well, I mean, you can always write these down. And for Halloween, you can pick any movies you want. So
Tales from the Crapper. Oh my God.
I'm giving you free reign for Halloween.
Oh my God.
So, yeah. So the movie begins with that. We find out this doctor, she is pretending to be a plastic surgeon who's doing some kind of experiments on people who are failing miserably because she's always covered in blood. And we know that she's a professional because someone has written on a piece of paper, surgery. Surgery right on the front door.
It's on a freaking
scribbled
piece of notebook paper. And yes. It says surgery.
And she has a like a guy who's her henchman.
Igor.
Yeah, exactly. and you know, that's supposed to be funny, whatever. It's just really, oh my God, what's happening here?
Yeah, it's ridiculous because we see that she has this office and she's supposed to be a medical professional. There's literally one desk from, it had to be the 1970s, some kind of like, one like wooden desk with a computer on it and a phone. There is nothing else in this waiting room except like two chairs and that's it. And it's just blank walls. It looks like a warehouse and it's got that terrible like wood. There's like a piece of like a plank of wood on the wall.
There's a lot of shots in this movie that they must have covered up stuff with pieces of wood.
I feel like that was a window or something.
There was something there. Later on, there's an alleyway, and they covered up, which I'm guessing is either some kind of address.
Yeah.
They just put a huge plank of wood across it. It looks so sus.
This movie was shot in an alley. I'm sorry.
There's three locations. Inside a guy's house, this weird room where the science stuff is happening, and an alleyway. That's it. Oh, there's a diner sequence, which I don't know how they got that done.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a good one. But yeah, so we meet this doctor. She's crazy as hell. And right off the bat, we know that she's like working for Satan.
Well,
she says it.
Not Satan, particularly.
Cthulhu.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right.
Very Lovecraftian. They wanted you to know that.
So every time she tries to do surgery, she's trying to like, you know, implant
a demon
breast onto these patients and it doesn't work and they end up dying.
So, How'd it go?
What was so important that you had to interrupt me? You were just knocking to see if you disturbed me? Oh, never mind. You lost another one.
She was unworthy.
Apparently. Been in the evil scientist game a long time. And believe me, you don't want to work with the Elder Gods.
Now what?
We keep trying. Perfection is close. I can just feel it. Soon, we're gonna find the perfect vessel. And all of humanity will fall to its knees. And we shall rule in darkness. Who's next?
Yes, no one is taking the surgery right.
Right, so no one's taking it well, and the demon boobs are not attaching right, and they're killing their subjects. So finally, we meet our main girl, whose name is Betty.
Yeah, she's played by Jessica Zawa. I'm never going to pronounce this properly, but I'm going to try my best. I know everybody's going to be like, not your best, Scott. You're going to try, though.
Yeah. Anyway, so we meet her, and she's, you know, she's fine. She's fine. She doesn't have massive breasts, and she's all consumed in wanting to have massive breasts because...
I wouldn't say that she's consumed by massive breasts. Her whole world is being run by breasts.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, she's consumed by it because she's got all her coworkers in this office called Double D's.
She works at Double D's.
What is it? Double D's?
It's like Double D's
construction
services, something like that. And it's like a exactly the cubicle office they got cheaply done in this warehouse again, or whatever they're using.
Oh my god.
And everybody's got cubicles, and we see like everybody looks the same. Everybody's got big boobs except this one actress, like, doesn't, you know. It's not like everybody's like pretending to have the giant boobs around her. And they keep telling us that this actress is supposed to be flat, and that everybody keeps, like, her front door says boy and you're flat chested. Someone wrote that in graffiti on her door. There's we meet these two guys. Do you remember their names?
They're outside. Oh my god, yes. Is it Greasy and
I know it's like Tick Flapjack? Dog? Tick something or other?
Oh, Tick Bite.
Tick Bite
and Greasy, I think. Oh, Gears.
That's it. It's Gears.
Gears and Tick Bite.
Gears and Tick Bite are virtually your
Jay and Silent Bob.
They stand on the corner, and all they do is catcall women.
Oh, baby, I think I'm in love. Oh, yeah, you got what I want. You got what I need. I want to do several nasty things to you in no particular order, but each of which involves getting you naked.
Dude, bring it back. Remember, less is more.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, that must be jelly, because jam don't shake like that.
Better. Hey, girl, got a present for ya.
Yeah, a present of our man organs, which you can unwrap. Thus keeping with your gift-giving analogy. Ow, I mean, nice ass.
And when they see her, our main character, they hide their eyes, because later on they say, oh, we always thought you were a boy. Now, I'm going to say this right now. She's not an attractive girl. I have no idea. And they could have so easily taken a woman who had big breasts or something like that and tried to flatten them and try to make her look ugly.
Yeah.
Instead, this woman is just playing herself.
Yeah.
And they didn't try to do anything to her. And I kept going, she's not an unattractive person. Mm-mm. Like, you have to at least trick me. You know, right. She's all that? Is that the movie where, oh, she's covered in paint?
Oh, she's like, covered in paint. She has glasses. She's ugly.
Which, not another teen movie nailed that, like, that whole joke.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, I can get any of these freaks. And then they're like, oh my god, she's so ugly. She's got glasses and she's covered in paint.
Yeah.
It's so true. It's just ridiculous, this weird thing. But this movie didn't even try.
No.
She just straight up looks like Anna Kendrick or somebody. Like, just like not a bad looking person. And I'm like, you guys aren't selling me on the flat chest or anything, because she never looks like that once.
No.
But when she keeps going everywhere, everybody references it.
I know. And her coworkers are so mean to her, and they're just bitches, just flat out bitches.
I see, like, what you did there.
Oh, flat out.
See, you're doing it now too. Maybe it's, you know, just a woman thing and I didn't understand it.
That was totally, like, you know, not intentional, but whatever. So they're just nasty to her. Her boss is the fucking worst.
Oh, they're all terrible.
The worst. Like, he's just a nasty male chauvinist. And they're like hammering it in that, you know, oh my God, you know, the only way to live your life is to have huge honkers. And so she goes to see this plastic surgeon.
Well, we also meet her her buddy at work, Tim, who is I thought he was supposed to be like gay maybe, and it wasn't into her. It was just the gay friend or whatever.
Oh,
but
yeah.
No, he's supposed to be the love interest. He's supposed to be the Jim at the office.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that for a little bit. And because the movie really didn't even try to tell us that, he just seemed like the fun coworker.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm not sure where they're going with this. But when they finally tell us that's a thing, oh, okay, I'm interested in that. You know, like, okay, this kind of makes sense, but this is just the writer of this movie putting himself in the film. And, you know, of course, she doesn't recognize him as a love interest because she does have a boyfriend.
Yes, and who is the worst.
And you said that the boss was the worst. The boyfriend is the worst.
The boyfriend is hands down the worst.
Everybody's going for him. By the way, he looks like, what was it, Peter? He looks like another version of him, right? What's his name? Peter?
From what?
From Can't Hardly Wait. I was making jokes about
Oh, Peter Facinelli.
Yeah, Peter Facinelli. I kept seeing him, and he kept
Trip McNeely.
He kept acting like Trip McNeely, and I could not stop laughing about it.
No.
He's not Trip McNeely.
He's not Trip
That's
McNeely.
That's Jerry O'Connell.
He's Mike Dexter.
That's right, Mike Dexter.
Oh my God, wear flip flops in the shower. I got warts all over my feet. It's real gross.
Movie's amazing. I don't know why it doesn't get talked about more.
You ever wonder why Jennifer Love Hewitt ever stayed at that party? She was so unhappy there, and all those people were such dicks. Like, just why are you there?
Oh, that was a big thing. Why did certain people stay at the party? Like, at least Seth Green got locked in the bathroom.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, I would rather be locked in the bathroom with literally any other human than Seth Green in that movie. He's so obnoxious.
Oh, he's unbelievable.
We're getting skewed off of this.
Yeah, we're talking about a better movie. So he reminded me of him, but he has the worst dialogue. Like, he is just the biggest scumbag. I don't even know why he's actually with her.
Yeah, you know, talk about, like, next level bad boyfriends. I mean, anything that he could possibly do to hurt this girl's feelings, he does it. Yeah. He calls his buddy and says, hey, let's go to the strip club and see some big honkered girls. And, you know, and he's just the worst. I mean, I don't know why she's with him. It's like next level self-esteem issues for this poor girl.
Oh, hey, babe, sorry I'm late. I ended up going out after work and having a few drinks with the guys.
I haven't seen you all week. And I was looking forward to dinner. And now it's cold.
I didn't come here to be bitched at. I had a bad day. Excuse me if I want to unwind a little. And seeing how much of a nag you're being, I'm glad I had a few.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to jump on you the second you got here. I missed you.
I know you did.
So like I said, I missed you.
I heard you.
Do you want me to show you how much?
Do you mean sex?
Of course I do, silly.
Sure, why the hell not? I'm drunk.
But he's the worst.
That's what pretty much forces her to finally say, now I... Because I guess they go... She makes dinner for him or something, and he just shows up late. But when... this guy does all this stuff. She watches a commercial, which is Thulu, Dr. Thulu.
Dr. Selling, Kate Thulu.
Dr. Kate Thulu selling her plastic surgery. By the way, that also made me laugh, that commercial. It was one of the times I was like, because the whole movie, I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is going to be one of those stale movies that we watch, because I always say that comedies are the hardest movies to get good.
Yep.
They're always the movies I hate. Because if the comedy doesn't work, it's not going to be a good movie. And so I thought, okay, this is going to be a low-budget, bad comedy. But there were certain things that started popping up that I went, okay, now that's funny. And one of those things was this commercial.
With a little bit of invasive plastic surgery and go from a zero to a zero.
Wow! Now I can achieve wealth, fame, and the possible destruction of my enemies.
If you don't want to look like doo-doo, call Thulu.
But it was just like the actress just pretending to walk on a green screen. Things like that just made me laugh. But she's saying, come on down and we can help you with any kind of plastic surgery. So that gets it into her mind that she wants to do this. But for some odd reason, we cut to a scene where we find our two detectives. Right? It just is oddly placed in the middle here where we first meet our two detectives eating breakfast.
Yeah, it's Detective Bartles and Detective James.
Yes.
And they're eating breakfast and we don't know why they're even showing them, but they make a funny joke about
their,
like,
their dialogue is like, yeah. Hey, doesn't this feel funny to you? Like we're just exposition. Like we're setting something up.
That will come back later.
And so everything that he says, and he of course is training the new recruit that's going to take over him because he was retiring in a couple of weeks. It's like all the jokes, but this guy, I couldn't unsee like a weird overacting Bob Odenkirk.
Oh, wow. I didn't see that at all.
I couldn't stop seeing him from his show, Mr. Show, from back in the day, mm-hmm. where he was doing a fake character. And I just couldn't unsee it. It made me laugh the whole time. And the dialogue between these two is just so funny and so odd that it made me laugh every time. Like when he was like, I have a terrible ulcer. And he's like, and he has to drink alcohol. But then he's like, I'm retiring soon. Doesn't this feel like we're reading a script? Like, you know, stuff like that. And they just have this crazy dialogue back and forth that made me really laugh. And then they cut away from it. Like, it just comes out of nowhere, and even the characters know it. And then where I was like, what was that? How's that going to tie into this movie?
Oh, it does.
But then it does. But
she gets her breasts done by Dr. Kate Thulu, and she goes to see her boyfriend, and that's when the fun starts. Because yeah. We're literally, like, 20 minutes into this movie, and nothing happens.
Well, she does, like, you know, she even goes to work in this weird outfit. It's just... You don't see, like, it doesn't really look real. It's just, like, too prosthetic underneath a big shirt that's around her neck. Yeah. So it's not like it actually looks like anything.
Right.
It could have been her faking it, and all of her coworkers are automatically like, oh, my God.
Right, yeah. Amazing. I mean, well, she does have her nipples, like, popping out. Like, yes. They're just, like, poking you in the eye. So
she instantly gets promoted.
She instantly gets promoted. It's so...
She gets her own office.
So silly, with the wood paneling. This freaking set is just atrocious. I feel like 1970s pornos were shot there. You know? Like, it probably was.
There's a calendar of what must be one of the actresses in this movie. Yeah, did you notice that? I couldn't stop looking at it. I was like, what is it?
I'm like, everything is, like, suggestive in this. It's, like, part of someone else's life. Like, part of, like, one of the actors' lives or something. There's, like, perfect placement of, like, you know, plot things and... You know, personal items of other people in this. It's like they didn't know what else to use, so they just like took personal effects of everyone in the crew and stuff. It was terrible sets, just absolutely terrible. Low budget. You can do low budget. I mean, Tommy Wiseau did low budget. I mean,
yeah.
But he still had set pieces that were relatively normal. This looks like literally a 70s porno set. Like, all of it, the wood paneling.
Great.
But, so she goes to work and, you know, everyone's like, yeah, you got your boobs. And, you know, the guy who likes her.
Tim.
Is totally not, I mean, he's totally, like, dragged into the boobs and can't stop staring at them. But he's not, like.
He's kind of like, why did you do it?
Like, why did you do this? You were good before, you know? So we see that he's actually a good guy. He's the only really good person in this movie besides our main person. But things start happening in this that I'm just like, okay. First, we have to start with her going to her boyfriend's house with a slutty red dress on. And he's the absolute worst to her. I mean, just the worst. And he sees her honkers. And automatically, he turns into a different person. Like, he's...
Everybody is.
You know? Yeah. Like, it's just a different person. But the best part is that he tries to put his hand in her shirt to feel her up. and his hand gets
Well, it's because she off. Falls asleep on the couch, I guess, because she tells him, you're not going to get any of this tonight.
Yeah, so you know? He's just like, ugh.
So she falls asleep, and that's when he tries to molest her. And he loses his hand. Her breast, apparently, when he reaches into her shirt, bites off his hand.
It's amazing. And I was like, you know what? We need to see this. We need to see it.
You know, right before this hand gets bitten off, I actually was like so like kind of bored by the film already because I started staring at the background, mm-hmm. which is obviously now I found out was the director's house. It's just he has DVDs all over the living room.
Yep.
And so I was watching and I was like, oh, he has every Mr. Science Theater DVD.
What's funny about this is any other guy that's watching this would be like staring at the boobs, like the nipples popping out.
I guess.
Even though they don't show the boobs or the prosthetic.
So what are you trying to say about me?
You are the one that's looking in the background at all the props and stuff.
Hell yeah, like, I am.
Oh, I'd like to have that DVD
set. I was like,
well,
I wonder what DVD that is right there. And then I was like, oh, I see all those Mr. Science Theater DVDs. I wonder if he has the one with Godzilla on it.
Oh my God.
Was banned. Anyways. I don't have it. I'm just going to say. So now, he loses his hand. By the way, before this happens, they set up this joke that he can't remember any of her, like her birthday, that this day that this is all happening is on the anniversary.
Yeah, it's their anniversary.
By the way, I don't know why I said birthday. Like birth date.
I didn't pick up on it.
Instead of birthday. I don't even know why. I'm just, something's wrong with me. So he doesn't remember any of these numbers, like these dates or these things. He goes, oh, you know, I don't remember any of those things. She goes, well, when did you get your pet turtle? And he goes, you know, that was 2 years ago. And it was such a lovely day. And I remember everything about it. Okay. It's like,
In fact, he said he got it on April 7th.
Yeah.
And that date is significant to us. Why?
Oh yeah. I didn't even pick up on that reference. Yeah. Oh.
Well, it's, do you know that date?
Yeah, it's your birthday.
Thank you. Thank you for being a good boyfriend.
Why did you say it like I didn't know?
Also, you're not my boyfriend.
No, I'm not. I guess I am. So, you know what? He said that he found the turtle. Oh, when I walked outside of the bar, I found him drinking in a puddle of beer. It was a lovely day. The only reason I bring this joke up was because I actually laughed at this. But why I brought this up is after he gets his hand bit, for some reason he chucks the aquarium with the turtle in it.
And I'm like, why you want to understand why that happened? Turtle?
But he did this only for one reason, that the next scene, the cops are there. And I honestly am not going to lie, guys. I laughed so damn hard during this bit.
You laughed and I face palmed. I couldn't laugh.
This was straight out of Attack of the Killer Tomatoes or something, or like Naked Gun. It made me laugh so hard.
The cops surmised that it could not have been her that hurt the boyfriend.
Yeah.
But it had to have been the turtle. The turtle is guilty.
That's not the bit that made me laugh. What made me laugh was that we see him getting brought out on a stretcher to outside by army vets. In full army helmets, God. And they have him on like an army war zone stretcher. It made me laugh so hard because it just came out of nowhere, and they don't even reference it; just walks by. And
it's just normal behavior,
just a normal thing.
Not paramedics because they couldn't afford the costume.
It's just so they couldn't. I mean, they have army outfits.
Well,
it's
they
even
went to
funnier.
The Goodwill. You can get that shit there sometimes.
And helmets. I couldn't stop laughing during this bit, and I just thought that was the funniest joke to have. And then it got even funnier when, like you said, the cop that's on scene came first before the two detectives tells them. That, oh, and by the way, they put caution tape on everything in the house. Made me laugh so hard, too. It's on the top of the door.
It's on the TV. It's on the couch.
Yes.
I was like, what is the reasoning?
He's like, you know, I couldn't figure out what could have occurred here, but we have surmised that, like, it must have been the turtle that bit his hand off. And they just showed this little turtle on the floor.
Turtle attack.
And then I laughed even harder because two cops are trying to get it and one's pointing a gun at it like, don't move, don't you move.
And I was like, okay, this movie understands what it is.
Yes.
Okay, it's trying to be funny.
And I will say that the best jokes in this movie come from every cop in this film.
You know what? That's the only time I giggled. Whenever Bartles and James were on the scene.
Or the cop that said it was the turtle.
Cops, I can't
All
take
these
it.
Characters made me laugh.
There was a lot of scenes like this where I was just like, oh God, Jesus, let it end. Like, I couldn't even laugh because it was so bad. And it was like, they were just trying so hard to be ridiculous.
But it was, every time it worked for me, it made me laugh. Like, even the dialogue here is straight up Airplane. Because, like, I think he's the one detective says to the other, he goes, you have a good eye, kid. And he says, thanks, my wife likes it too, but only the one.
Only the one eye.
And he goes, the left? And he goes, yep.
Oh my God. Those two cops, Bartles and James.
Stupid.
They are literally the freaking best thing about this movie.
They keep telling everybody in the movie that the James wants to have sex. He's going, I'm going to get my wife pregnant soon. Like, that's his only constant thing that he tells every character in the movie. That's it.
And then the other one is retiring in a week.
Yeah, and he keeps drinking his ulcers down.
Yeah, he's got ulcers, so he wants to put alcohol on them.
Multiple times in this movie, he's bleeding. And they're like, you're bleeding again, Chief. Right?
It's like an ongoing joke that he's always got something coming. Like, he's always bleeding or something's happening to him.
I love every time he has, like, well, I'm glad it's coming out of a normal area. Stuff like that. So they go along with it, but they're like, something's fishy here.
I mean, they
and
don't
it's
even
not the
like
turtle.
There's like no questioning of her or anything. Like, they just like assume it's the turtle that bit the hand off.
Yeah.
I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? So meanwhile, we show her.
But she doesn't know she's doing this, by the way.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't know. He breaks up with her, screaming in agony when he loses his hand. He's like, it's over. We're done. And I'm just like, really? That's the straw that
yeah.
the camel's back?
Later on, Tim, actually, because he's trying to be a nice guy, and he's like, and he knows she likes him, is basically like, well, maybe if I go back to him and let it settle, maybe let the wound heal
the
for
wound
a while.
Heal. I'll go back and try again.
He'll take it back.
He's the worst fucking boyfriend of all time. He's wretched. So it gets so, like, this movie is so ridiculous because it obviously, these breasts have a demon in them. Like, it's Dr. Kate Thulu that put a curse on her.
I love how you say it the whole thing each
Dr.
time.
Dr. Kate Thulu, and she's putting these.
It's not a curse. They actually show when they did the surgery that he had to bring in some kind of demon.
Yes.
The assistant is fighting a demon, and I guess he put it inside. We never are really told exactly what's happening in that scene, but as we go on, we start seeing that the breasts are alive because they start making her sleepwalk.
And kill people.
And it talks for her.
Oh, my God.
So the breasts are now talking to people. So it goes outside and makes her sleepwalk outside to kill probably two of the funniest other characters in this
Gears
movie.
Gears and yeah, Tick Bite.
Tick Bite. And they're funny. This guy's trying to learn how to catcall. That's like his joke. And the other one's like, hey, man, like that wasn't good.
No. They're literally the worst.
Yeah, a little kid even comes up and says, you guys are the worst.
Like, you're never going to get girlfriends.
Yeah, and then he's like, I'll see you in 10 years, girl.
Oh my God, so bad.
It's so bad. But okay, so it comes outside and it talks them into having sex with them. Like, the breast is like, come down the alleyway and have sex. Now, the girl is completely asleep. She's not moving her mouth or anything. And they're like talking to the breasts without a problem.
See, I feel like we needed to see this.
They talk about how they don't want to do it at the same time. So they have to take turns. So one goes down the alleyway. And then we just see the one that's waiting puts on a cassette. Right. And he blasts the song that made me laugh again. Because the song just has like basically two lines of dialogue and it made me laugh so.
You're gonna have to play it here.
Yeah.
Is this legit? Is she asking what I think she is?
I don't know, but that's usually how it happens in the porns I watch.
Okay, how do we, I mean.
Well, I've seen it with two guys at the same time before, but no offense, I'm hoping that's not what she's after.
Well, do you mind seconds?
For that, I would take fifths. Tell you what, first round to you, and I'll back you up.
With the tunes?
With the tunes.
So I can hold.
good.
Because I'm sure there's no way they could be monetized. Like, there's no way that song is, like, a real song.
I mean, it can't be a real song. All the songs in this movie, like, there's no way that they're real. They just made them up for this movie.
Another character says, the cops say later on, we found out about this because this tape was playing in a loop. It just wouldn't stop playing this one song over and over. But he blasts it so he doesn't hear his friend, by the way, getting killed in the alley. What we see... him trying to escape the alleyway, but blood shooting everywhere.
Yeah.
And then she sneaks up behind him, the other guy, and her boobs eat him from the back.
Yeah, so we went through the whole Tubi, right? And there was no, they didn't show anything in the scene.
I don't know what there would have been to see here, because it was obviously just, if anything, that might have been CG stuff coming out of his chest.
Yeah. Oh, God.
So if we miss that, who knows?
Good Lord.
Well, I mean, again, no budget. You know, like, I get it. So these two people are missing. So the cops, they get called to this alley. Mm-hmm. And the cop, again, who picked the turtle out as the killer, is like, well, we got called over here because that tape is playing really loud. So we came over here and we found a bunch of body parts, which we think are fresh, not just one scattered around like normal. And he's like, how do you know they're fresh? And he's like, well, you know, it looks more bloody than usual, you know, type of thing. And this is when they're basically like, yeah, there's something wrong here. I don't know what it is, but isn't this where the last, that guy's hand got bit off over here? But like, it's really close by. So it seems like there's something going on. Well, they go and interview her because of this.
Yep, they go interview Betty. And there's really no rhyme or reason to this at all. I mean, she doesn't know what she's doing. She doesn't know.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's pointless. But everything weird keeps happening around her apartment.
I actually think that there's another murder before they interview her. Because she hangs out with her coworkers at a bar. And there's this one guy that's like a very age skinny Jim Carrey type character.
Yeah, you know, the guy that like stands by the bar and puts out the vibe.
Yes, and he just has the worst lines. It's unreal. He says the worst things trying to get like a girl to go home with him. And so Tim wants to, like, he's finally saying, I want to be with her, to the bartender, but something happens to stop it. And now he's like only stepping up because he thinks that this guy, this loser at the bar, might bring her home.
Yeah.
Which really doesn't make it sound like he has standards for this girl. Like, he loves her, but he doesn't think she has any standards. Like,
right.
It's kind of weird.
I mean, she kind of doesn't have standards. Her ex-boyfriend that got his hand bit off is a total piece of shit.
I guess that's true. But if this loser is like at the bar is the guy you're afraid of,
oh,
that's
I know.
Bad.
Yeah.
Well, he has to go to the bathroom. So this guy does hit on her. And I want to say this because the funniest thing in this bar is none of the dialogue. It's the three cops in the back and they cut to one of these cops and he tells him, hey, new kid, to the other cop, you know, you're not really partying until you play Russian roulette with an automatic.
And I was like, what? This is so stupid. First of all, they're in a dance club.
So,
there's three cops in a dance club in uniform just fucking having drinks and fucking around.
And in the background, while the characters are having a conversation, you see that one of the guys lost and puts a gun to his head. And later on, you just see that guy is dead.
He's just slumped over. Yeah, I was like, oh, Jesus. Over. Like, the humor was so next level.
It's just in the background jokes. And I was like, the background jokes, again, are making me laugh, you know?
It's funny because I didn't... those kind of things usually do make me laugh. Like, the slapsticky things. But I wasn't laughing at all. I don't know what happened. I think I just went to a different spot in my mind.
Yeah, you seem to. I can tell. I can tell you that was happening to you.
Well, you know what it was? Because we were more than halfway through this movie and there was like nothing. There was no gore. There was no boobs. There was nothing. Like, I was like, what is this? Like, usually when these low budget movies get made, they have some, like I said, some element of something to give you.
Yeah.
Either gore or boobs. I got nothing so far.
I was like, okay, this is just maybe like, you know, commentary on idiots being in a comedy. making fun of this kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm in. Like, I understand what these people are doing. And it's like a low budget movie, so I can't really give it too much of a, like a, you know, like, go screw yourself, so this is really boring. I was like, you know what? These are funnier jokes than I thought it should. So in this particular, again, I was like, oh, that's a funny little joke in the background. But what's interesting here is that when she goes home, she has a dream, and she wakes up again and does the, you know, it's puppeteering, and she goes back to the bar, and the boobs pick up this guy and bring him home. And I guess it completely swallows this guy whole, because we never see his body. We never hear about it.
This is the first time that we actually see the boobs, and yeah, it's a pretty good prosthetic.
It's a really good prosthetic, or some kind of CG overlay. I have no idea how they did it, but it does look decent.
Or maybe they use a body double.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It didn't look real to me, but I mean, maybe.
They looked really perfect. So.
It did look. Yeah. There was like a zoom on it too. And it kills this guy. And I think she starts realizing things are like going wrong, because that's when the cops come. And she doesn't know that she's doing these things.
Right.
But when the cops come, they kind of reference a whole bunch of stuff. They accidentally keep dropping names. And she keeps picking it up. And for some reason, she remembers the guy's name at the bar that she just met that was killed. So every time they were like questioning her, like, oh, did you know this guy? Because where were you last night? I was at that bar. Well, that guy is missing,
mm-hmm.
You know? And also, this person's missing.
I feel like she would have been a suspect in murder already, you know?
Yeah,
like,
they said the two people across the street.
Right, the two people across the street. She was the only person in the apartment when her boyfriend's hand got bit off. She was like, I mean, she's always there.
I have to point out this, too, that they said was really funny, was that they said, those two guys, you know these two guys? And they show a picture, and they actually are posing.
Like, someone took a picture of them. Oh, my God, it's hysterical.
And they say, oh, do you know these? Oh, yeah, those two guys, they live right, they always stand outside. They've been standing there for 20 years, rain or shine.
I think that was a joke on like Jay and Silent Bob, because I feel like, you know, in like Clerks, they're always standing outside.
Because they're still out there in the middle of the night when she comes back downstairs to kill them. Like, we were pointing it out, mm-hmm. Like, they're still there. And so this reference, made me laugh. But she now figures out there's something wrong, and I think I'm a part of it, because all these people are missing around me. Although the cops still think it might be wild animals like the turtle. That are killing people recently.
Oh, and my so God, the turtle.
They know that maybe there's something fishy about her, but she now starts realizing, and she has a bad dream where everybody in the world has breasts except her. And that's when we find out that her psychiatrist, who is played by Lloyd Kaufman, which is great casting, he breaks out into song. And he has an entire song about breasts.
Insert here.
All you need's a pair of fun bags, and you'll never be a fag hag.
They're flappy and slappy. They make me very happy. They make me want to bust out into song.
All you need's a pair of fun bags, a pair of knockers to make Dutch gag.
I'm scouting the mountains for lactose fountains, mammaries to make Russmeyer cry.
The sight of your breasts makes me quake. I don't even care that they're fake.
My heart and soul are yearning to feel. I know if I can touch them, they're real.
Woohoo! All you need's a pair of fun bags, a pair of cocktails that will not sag.
This song is freaking ridiculous.
Yes, Tim, like, is singing as well.
It's ridiculous. And he even has breasts in this dream. And all the girls in the office are like parading and dancing around her. And you could tell the song was literally just written for this movie. It's not even absolutely a song. It's hysterical. It's just hysterical.
So she wakes up. This is where she's like, okay, something's really wrong. Right. But I think that she at this point finds out that Tim really likes her, and then she has feelings too. So they actually go on a date, and the date seems to go pretty well, because when they get back to her place, she says basically starts off saying like, we're just friends. But then he's like, oh, I figures we're just friends and you want to ruin it. She goes, no, I wanted to go more than just friends. So she brings him inside the house, and he's a gentleman. He stops her and says, like, look, I'm actually a virgin. And I guess we should have pointed this out. I forgot about this plot line because it's Kate so bad. Thulu. Well, that comes after this, but I was going to say there's a gypsy character.
There's a gypsy who seems to have just wandered about into her building that she lives at, because she was going into the building to go home when the gypsy walked out of this building. And she's like,
Something is going on with this actress, because she's constantly overdubbed.
She's overdubbed. Maybe she doesn't speak English. I don't know.
I don't know, because it does seem like it's the right words, but something is up with this. But it is so weird. She, when she does reads her the tarot cards, the cards are all funny ass cards that she can't figure out. They're like watermelons. Everything. She has an Uno card, take two. She's like, I don't know what any of this is, but it obviously it's telling this woman, you know, our main character, like, oh, it's about her breasts. And then there's
the
something to do with
way
a virgin.
Possible.
Something.
The stupidest way possible they're telling us and you know, her.
Something about a virgin, right? So then when she's on this date with this guy, you know, Tim is in her house, and he starts telling her while she's in the kitchen, hey, you know, I'm a virgin and I wanted this to be special. And it was so weird because I went to a gypsy, like a tarot reader. And I don't know why I keep saying gypsy. I think that's like an offensive. What do you call them? A palm reader or whatever. I don't know what you call them. Tarot card readers.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. Fortune teller.
Fortune teller.
I couldn't think of the damn word. So anyways, a fortune teller. He goes, you know what's funny? I met a fortune teller and told me that I would lose my virginity to someone I really cared about and that I knew it would be you. And she's like, wait a minute. Fortune teller. I had a fortune teller. That's when she starts like going into a trance again. And I think she starts fighting the breasts who come alive. And they're basically like, I want to eat a virgin. Like, we need a virgin. And so...
But why, though?
I don't know.
The breasts need, like, a sacrificial virgin? Like, what is going on? Like, I mean, Dr. Kate Thulu does sum this up. She says that in order to reign hell on earth and become the all-powerful...
Well, her lord is going to come back to
the earth. The Dark Lord is going to come back to earth.
Yeah, because she goes to her after this whole incident, because she saves Tim. She makes him leave the apartment and fights, because Tim says, I love you. And that's what makes her come out of the trance as the breasts are in charge. But then she goes to Thulu.
And the breasts are in charge.
They're in charge. They're large and in charge. And she goes to Thulu. And asks, what the hell did you do to me? And that's where we get that dialogue drop that you're talking about, where she's virtually like, oh, my Dark Lord is going to come through you. You're perfect now. You know, like, everything I wanted.
So what happens when she does, let's just say she eats, the breasts eat Tim, right?
Yeah, I don't know what the hell.
When the breasts eat Tim and the Dark Lord does show up on Earth, so how is it that Betty's going to get everything she ever wanted?
Oh, it's
she's Betty. An unsuspecting victim
in all
this. Yeah,
she's using her as a host.
Right.
It needed a host body? I don't know why, because after this scene, like, we find out, when she runs out of there, be like, oh, you want me to kill Tim? I'm not going to kill Tim. You know, she actually kills her coworker, like, her coworker for some reason. It's a whole scene. But then right after she kills her coworker in a hot tub, this woman, not the Tim guy, but it's like one of the female coworkers, we get to see a shot of two breast moons for no reason. And then she goes into an alleyway where there's like 15 extras at night standing around like they're at a party.
I mean, and are they? They're every single character that's in the movie.
Yeah, one of them said, well, there's a bunch that we don't know. And one of them says, what's going on here? And then the guy goes, well, I think this is the third act climax.
It was
like,
very
why are we all standing here? Yeah,
like, it was just like they knew exactly what they were doing.
So this is when the killing spree happens, and we see her breasts like full on monster mode. They're out, and they got mouths.
They have mouths and like demon teeth.
Yes,
and they're huge. And I was waiting for the whole entire movie to get here. Now we're at this point watching it still on YouTube. And we had to go back on Tubi.
I stopped it and I was like, okay, there's something wrong.
And watch the whole thing. Because I'm like, we still don't see these freaking breasts. Like, they're killer breasts at this point. like, we don't see them. So when we watched Tubi, we got to see them. And I was like, oh my God.
We did see them in another shot too. And we did see some other things, but this is the full on of it now.
This is like the monster, yeah. The monster boobs. And she just starts killing everybody.
Yeah. Just full on jokes everywhere. Everybody's dying. Everybody's in the alleyway from the whole movie.
Blood is spraying everywhere. Yeah. It's like the scene, like they, and when they say like third act climax, they really mean it, because yeah. This is like everything in the movie that should have been happening up until this point is happening at the end. And she's just slaughtering everyone, biting heads off and shit. It's great. It's what I was waiting for, because I wanted to see them. I knew they were going to have like some mouth on them or some prosthetic, you know, whatever, puppets. And I wanted to see it through the whole movie. So I was like happy. I feel like everything I had just gone through was redeemed.
Okay.
When I saw that.
Yeah. I mean, this scene's fun.
It's hysterical.
There are so many crazy moments here. There's so many people dying. This feels like a scene out of Dead Alive.
Yes.
But without the creative, like someone really going crazy with the makeup. That yeah. Taking their time. This is a little bit rushed. There's some jokes. There's like fake heads and stuff like that flying off.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fun. And that's where the guy from Slime City, the other movie that they did, walks into the shot and gets killed because it shoots. I honestly don't know why. I think it was supposed to be breast milk.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's what it looks like. But it like burns his face.
Yeah, it was fun. That was a fun ending scene. But then we got like, you know, our kind of hero Tim. He comes in and says, "Wait, it's me. Stop killing. It's me you want.
You can kill me, but let me see her one more
time." Yeah, let me see my girl. Let me see Betty one more time. Because at this point, the full demon has just taken over her. So she comes back. It's Betty. "I love you, Tim." Meh. And
Well, it also killed Bartles and James.
Yes. So Bartles and James, they get all fucked up. They get shot. And so she's kissing Tim at the end. And
well, she rips her breast right
she
off.
She says, "No, I'm not going to let you die, Tim."
Yeah.
And she rips them off, like literally rips them right off. And they go running away.
They actually, we see her breast moving across the floor. That's where Bartles goes, "I told you I was an ass man." And then he's like, "You're a demon from hell. What do you think about these beads?" And then James, who has been shot from the boobs, who ate the bullets that they shot at him and spit them back into him, gets off the floor and goes, "No, Chief, don't you know that breasts love beads? Haven't you been a Mardi Gras?" So he gets like killed too. They fall next to each other, like dead. And then the boobs jump onto trash can and become like Audrey 2 from Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh my God. They're so funny looking.
Yeah.
So you can tell that someone's in that trash can and they yeah, got their arms the going heads. Through the things. And it's so goofy. It's next level goofy. But she goes over to them. And the stupidest thing is that one of the girls that was dying on the floor, she takes her bra off. She takes this girl's bra off and then decides that she wants to, she's going to try and kill the boobs by putting the bra on.
The bra on the monster. Because as this movie wants you to know, the underwire is the most uncomfortable thing ever for a woman.
You know what? I'm going to say no. It depends on what kind of bra you buy. But I will say that underwire is not so bad
okay.
all the time. All right. It depends on what kind of bra. If you get a cheap ass thing from Walmart for $3.98, yeah, it's gonna suck. But if you get a nice one, you know, it's not that bad.
My man's ear doesn't really have underwire, so I don't know about this.
You mean the bro?
Well, I call it a man's ear.
Okay.
If you want to call it a bro. So you know, I don't know about this, but I was wondering the whole movie. I thought you would be laughing at this because you have complained about underwire before to me.
Well, I can tell you that if it's a cheap bra, I have had the underwire poke through and poke at my boob, and that hurts.
Yeah.
It comes through, it'll break through, and it'll hurt. It can hurt. But if you like get a bra that's not $3.98 and you get a nice one, you shouldn't have any problems.
Well, I mean, this one apparently is having problems. I think it's because earlier in the movie, this woman that she takes it from was complaining about how the underwire was cutting her.
Yeah.
And then she takes that off that woman and puts it on top of the breast, and they explode.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
And they tell us that it's silicone that shot all over.
Mm-hmm.
So now the only great thing here, besides this as being the ending of the movie and her and Tim are together, which, by the way, isn't bad. Okay, so I was going to say this. The only thing that's even better than the happy ending thing here is that Bartles and James are okay. They get up off the floor with their mortal wounds. That, like,
I mean, they're bloody as hell,
yeah.
And they're shot in the chest and everything.
He has multiple bullets.
The chief just getting right up.
You'll get used to those bullets.
I love it. At this point, they just didn't give a rat's ass.
Let's go get ice cream.
They said, let's go get ice cream. And they're walking around. I'm like,
but
okay.
But he says terrible line here, and I was like, oh my god. I guess we should point out the two lines. When she kills the breast with the bra, she says, my boobs are real and they're spectacular, which is a Seinfeld joke.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, it really was beauty that killed the bust.
Fucking awful.
And I was like, oh.
The dialogue in this movie, it can either be hysterical or facepalmy. And I got to tell you, most of the time I was facepalming because I was like, Jesus, guys, come on. Like, there's a way to do this kind of comedy and a way not to.
True.
And it was just too much. I'm just like, oh, God, it's just not funny. It's like, you know, when they're trying too hard, it's not funny when you try too hard.
True.
You know,
that's what I was going to say about this movie, because I'm going to give more of a pass to this movie than I normally would. I think that this movie, I couldn't stop thinking about this, that we've seen movies like this that had a little bit more of a budget, and so they worked better. But this movie, you can tell, had like no budget.
I mean, but you can still, okay, our main actress, Betty, she actually did try, and I felt bad for her because she's
bad in this.
No, but she's surrounded by a bunch of twits, you know.
I guess everybody's not supposed to be.
It's like they're just trying too hard. It's just too extra. It doesn't hit right. It doesn't land when you're trying that hard.
But
you know?
that's what I was talking about. Like, you can see they couldn't afford a lot of cuts. You know, they only had a certain time of day to get things done. You know, I that's what I was talking about. They probably filmed this over a week. You know what I mean? They probably didn't take as much time because they didn't have the money. They didn't have the budget. If they did, they could have made a real movie. We watched One-Eyed Monster a couple weeks back, which I think a lot of what we want in that movie kind of was in this movie. But that movie apparently had a bigger budget. It felt like it looked a little better. And some of the actors were trying a lot better in that movie, but I felt like none of the jokes landed there, but were landing here.
Right. So that's, I don't know, I'm the opposite. I didn't feel like any of the jokes were landing here.
Oh, we said Bartles and James alone were funny.
Yeah, Bartles and James, that was it. You know, like, some of the other stuff, like the stupid-ass boyfriend and, you know, just this other silly one-liners, they just didn't hit right. I was, like, face-palming a lot. But Bartles and James were definitely the VIPs of this movie, and the main actress who really tried, for sure.
Yeah. I will give this a little bit more of a pass. Like, that's what I'm thinking of. Like, all the movies we watched this month and this killer body parts thing, some bizarre stuff. But, you know, it's another thing, too, that I guess we should mention is that since we watch these in chronological order, as we got on to the 2000s, we realize what the difference between an indie movie in the 2000s, the 90s, and the 80s, or the 70s. I don't know when the hand was made. I can't remember now. But
I think it was the 70s.
Okay, so you could see that was a low budget in the 70s. It looked decent, you know?
I think so.
And then in the 90s, it got even more strange and using, like, every buck that you had to make something. And then when you get into the 2000s, you're like, it's even cheaper, but then the movies look cheaper too.
Yeah.
So it's like the indie movies of the past never look, I mean, the movies of the past make movies now look like some just a friend made this on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's and it's an odd thing to look at and break down of how during the decades it got cheaper looking.
Yeah.
Some almost kind of lazier, which is sad because I think they definitely tried here. You know, there's
With the special effects they did. They were crap, of course, but they tried those special effects. I mean, with the boobs and the mouth and all that stuff.
I will say that they tried way harder than the One-Eyed Monster movie did years prior, where we were waiting for the monster the whole time. We really didn't get to see anything.
No, we got to see like a dildo.
As a dildo. Yeah. Yeah. And so in this one, you're like, oh, they made props. They made actual things.
They were just kind of like, it was just too extra with the trying too hard with the comedy. But with props, they did good. Yeah. They did go with the props.
I'm just giving them credit for like, this is the later. I'm sure if we watched a movie from now 2025, you know, we would be like, oh my God, the budget here. This looks even worse.
This
like,
is 2015, this movie?
Yeah.
So it felt like it was 1995.
Yeah, it could. I can feel that the year in the way that it was being filmed. That's what I'm saying. Every decade, you're like, oh my God, it gets increasingly worse.
Yeah.
With the how it looks and feels.
Yeah.
And the killer eye we watched last week. I mean, like, God. We're getting into that time where you're like, holy shit.
Jesus,
like,
I just put that out of my head already.
I know, exactly. So it's like, this is like 15 times better than the killer eye to me. But I don't
15
know.
15 times, good Lord.
Not 15, well, I shouldn't say 15 times.
No, you shouldn't say 15 times.
Two
times better?
Three times.
What's your score on this?
I'm going to give this a 4 out of 10.
So you think it's so bad it's good?
I do.
I do not.
I do. I found this kind of like an indie. I think if they were given a budget, this could have been something fun. Like a more of a cast. I think that I feel like this could have been something very funny and people would have liked it or known about it more. But I can see this being a cult thing. I can see why it got turned into a musical and was more successful, which is what I said about when we saw Lisa Frankenstein. I was like, this movie's going to become a cult movie and it'll be a musical.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be very popular in the back, like in the indie scene.
Yeah.
And I think I was right about that. And the same goes here. I'm like, this is going to grow into something.
Mm.
And I can see this being like,
well, it hasn't yet.
Well, I said it became a musical. So it did. It people know of it in the cult scene.
But how long was that musical running?
No, it's not about that. My point is that it actually had some kind of longevity. Whereas Lisa Frankenstein is actually a budget movie, was in the theater. This wasn't in the theater. It was slapped online.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's like for that, I got to give it some credit. So I'm going to give it so bad it's good. Like I wouldn't even say so bad it's good. It's kind of like funny. Like it's a chintzy comedy. I liked it. I'm only giving it so bad it's good because it's not great. You know, it's not even mediocre. It's just like, it's funny.
Yeah. I am going to have to go one lower. I'm sorry. I'm taking it 2 or 3.
So you're going toward the One-Eyed Monster.
Yeah.
Because I don't know.
I mean, at least the One-Eyed Monster. The reason I'm giving this a 3 is because I do feel that there are some elements of it that were not so bad. But the One-Eyed Monster, at least we had the one actor who was totally bringing it.
Yeah, they actually, those people in One-Eyed Monster, we know them from things.
Yeah.
So they had like no reason. Like these are just like, you know, extra actors or people who work on films in the behind the scenes.
I mean, can we talk about Dr. Kate Thulu? She has an impressive resume of trash.
Well, would you say impressive or would you say, wow, good for her that she's like riding the indie wave.
Impressive in the numbers, category. 271.
I mean, she has a whopping box office gross of $1 million, Joe.
A whopping box office gross of $1.
$1. I was being generous with the $1 million after 270 films. I don't know how many of those movies actually were in the theater.
Box office gross of about $27.50.
You're probably right. I was going to be nice.
Oh, no, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying that this movie did not really get me into the, at least the One-Eyed Monster. It had me laughing in some scenes because I was like, okay, this is stupid. But this one, Bartles and James is what did it for me, and they
all the cops.
They couldn't save it.
I liked the lead actress. I didn't mind it.
No, she was all right.
And I was like, I actually like in this movie the Tim and her. While Tim is like you can see he's not an actor. He seems dubbed a lot too. I was like, you know what? I get it. They have chemistry. It's weird. I like it. I don't mind it. They have a little joke about coffee and stuff. But in One Eyed Monster, I was like, I don't get any of these characters. Nobody seems to like each other.
Nah, everyone was terrible. But yeah. So, all right, let's recap. Hold on.
And we keep forgetting the killer eye exists.
I forgot. Because
it's terrible.
Yeah. And so we got a hand, a tongue, an eye, a penis, and boobs.
Yes.
I think we did it.
Back we did it.
We did it. We have covered the essential body parts.
I guess so. And right? We're going to say pretty much is in order of our likability. The hand, then killer tongue, right?
Yeah.
And for me, it's this movie and then One-Eyed Monster. And dead last, the killer eye, which was straight garbage.
I mean, oh God, man, that was trash. Oh, man. Well, yeah, this one, I'm out of three. I can't do
it. I get it. I mean, I understand.
I'm not even, there's one 10 star.
I've definitely got more leeway than you.
You do. You're giving it a lot of leeway, but I'm a little bit more critical than you. But there's one 10 star and one star review. I'm not reading nothing.
Well,
I'm done.
Can you just give me a headline? Is there a funny headline of the 10?
A funny headline?
I'm sure it was one of the people who worked on the movie.
I mean, yeah, of course it is.
Uncle Lloyd gave it?
Oh, Jesus, Uncle Lloyd.
For the song alone.
I mean, these songs, you're definitely going to put them in here. But, all right. So, I'll tell you what the headline of the one star is. Grossly unfunny.
Okay.
Okay. Then the 10 star is so bad, so good.
And they gave it a 10.
Yeah.
What was the person who wrote that's name? I just want to know it.
Oddball Quilter.
Yep. Makes sense.
Oddball Quilter.
Sweet.
Yep.
I mean, hey, I got more enjoyment from this one than I thought I was going to.
Yeah, well, that makes one of us. Have a good night, everybody. Thanks for stopping by.
Jeez. Oh, man. Okay.
Oh, my God. I'm done with Killer Rack because it just didn't.
I'm done with Killer Rack. I just love the sound of that. That's hilarious. Let me look at this one thing really fast.
Out of all the movies we watched this month, this one wasn't the best. I mean the best.
Nice. How can we do anything else? That's how we should have ended.
We're done. Good night, folks. Be sure to tip your waitress.
All right. So we're moving on to August next month. And next month is National Dog Month, which it means September is National Cat Month. So what we're going to do in August and September is dogs versus cats. We're going to see which one of these has the best movies.
Dogs for the win.
All right. We're going to do dogs all next month. I found some choice numbers, and we'll see how that goes down. I don't know. We'll see. Until next time, everybody. Thanks for listening. Have a good one. And you want to say anything else?
Yeah. How about hit us up on Instagram at Just Another Movie Night. That's Scott, and I am at The Crafty Misfit. That's it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Damn, what's wrong, Chief?
I've been having these pains followed by numbness in one arm, followed by white light with dead relatives beckoning me forward.
You might want to see a doctor.
Oh, no need. Probably just my ulcer acting up. Let's see what's going on over there so we can go home.
I hear you. Now that I'm not enjoying my first week on the job, I just really want to go home to my wife. Gotta keep trying for that baby she wants.
I remember when I was young, full of baby-making juice. But now we got a job to do. So what have we got here?
This is the alley where a couple local douchebags usually hang out. The neighbors called it in when their tape of 80s metal hairband music was playing on a non-stop loop. When we came on the scene, we noticed quite a bit of blood, but no sign of the two. Although we did find some human remains scattered about. But we think that may have been here before, though.
What do you think, Chief?
Doesn't feel right. I'm thinking this isn't your normal human remains scattering.
You got a little blood coming out of your nose there.
Don't worry about the blood. It comes with the ulcer. Thankfully, it only came out the nose this time. I'm glad I am 1 week away from retirement.